of the public, DPSA has indicated that they're going to give a written response on that question regarding the legality as well as whether it is procedurally possible to implement that specific section regarding the question of the detective. So that will be hopefully by the end of business today we'll get that input from DPSA. So that's outstanding. And then, Chairperson, I think there was also indication by you as well that, you know, we should go through the, all the submissions, and if there's still lacunas, you know, we should bring it under the attention of the committee. And there's just three issues, maybe while we wait for the other document, just to brief members on the document, and as soon as the substantial document arrives, maybe we can deal with that. Chair, yes, the additional proposals that this one-pager that was distributed, just to give context to that, and I'll go then line by line. In the current Chapter 10, there is currently a power function or function with the Executive Director that he may appropriately refer certain criminal investigations to any relevant commissioner of the SAPS. And it's currently not contained in the bill itself. And when we look also at the new, let's say, core functions in Section 27 as well, there might be issues that maybe, for instance, will be reported to the ICD. For instance, that would more be appropriately be investigated, for example, by the Hawks. And then we will have that ability to then refer it to them. For instance, questions of widespread corruption or issues with regarding syndicates and so on. So we felt it would be, from a practical point of view, be prudent to include that provision from Chapter 10 in this section, and then to put it under also the responsibilities of the Executive Director. So, for instance, if we get a case of that nature or magnitude, we will have the ability then to refer that. So that is really the motive for that. The new Clause 5, that was indicated in the submission of the Human Rights Commission, that we don't currently have an indemnity clause in the legislation, so that if staff members act in the official capacity, I mean, they can be held liable. So we just want to include that no staff member of the director shall be held liable in respect of any act performed in the execution of his or her official duties. So that is the reason for that. And then, Chair, the additional clause 24, 1 and 2. Currently, there is no clear provision in the bill for the conferment of policing powers. And we felt that we should spell it out exactly in detail, that it could be contained in the bill. So we propose from our side 24.1, the minister shall authorize the identified members of the directorate, and that will be usually your investigators, to exercise the powers and functions conferred or assigned to any member of SAPS in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act 77 as amended and any other law. So the minister will then do that officially, and then the executive director shall issue a document in the prescribed form which shall serve as proof to certify that such a member of the directorate has been duly authorized to exercise the powers and perform the duties as contemplated in Section 24.1. Currently, in terms of practice, all your investigators with police powers has got an ID certificate or certificate that they must show when they execute those duties of policing powers. So that is to ensure that it's also in line with the current practice, to ensure that when they execute these duties or they arrest a member of the SAPS or they seize documents or they enter a specific you know, a place where SAPS members, they've got the necessary identification. So that's really the technical motive for those three. So, that is just from, you know, as we went through the bill yesterday, thought that we just bring it under attention of the committee, of course, for them to consider. And, yeah, thank you, Chair.
Chair, on reading this proposed insertion, it's referred to here, clause 6. It's a bit, actually a bit confusing. The thought that the ICD may ask the SAPS to investigate itself. When I thought that was the job of the ICD, the ICD has got investigators who investigate criminal matters. So I'm not. Perhaps I need an example of what this is proposing, because to me it's actually on contemplation, contradictory to everything we're doing in the bill. So I'm at a bit of a loss here. I don't understand why the SAPS would be brought in to investigate itself. I thought that was the ICD's job.
I think, Madam Chair, I cannot understand why, because this clause has got far-reaching implications in all what we've been doing. What we're trying to do, we even said in terms of rape, any rape even outside judiciary, there was not normally the case, must be investigated by IP. Now all of a sudden, and it's general, refer criminal investigation. If there is compelling reasons for any criminal investigation to be sent to the SAPS, I would rather that be specified. Just to take a refer criminal is general. So it defeats all what we've been trying to, even when he was explaining, I did not get what is it that we're trying to achieve about this thing. Unless ICD now is getting cold feet, because why should they now refer to, because I'm talking these criminal investigations are criminal investigations of criminal activities by the police. He talks about big syndicates. I know the police might require, but I'm not sure the police would have serious, dangerous, big syndicates in the police service unless the secretariat and the ICT are not doing their, at least, I don't want us to, but that's why I'm saying, if you say, you specify that this is the type, or you can give us an example, but to generally say, you refer criminal investigations to the police. You must understand, we're dealing here with human, why laws are tightened is because the human element is avoided. What if now IP for some reason has got some working connections now with the police, they decide certain cases, and we've given them a blank check that they can decide which criminal case to refer to the police?
As we take other inputs or questions from members, I just want to bring to the attention of members, I don't know whether this is talking to the, and it's not like I'm in agreement with what is being proposed here, but I'm just saying, type of matters to be investigated according to the bill, it's deaths in police custody, deaths as a result of police action, any incident of shooting, rape by a police officer, whether the police officer is on or off duty, any rape of a person that occurs where they are in police custody, any complaints of torture or assault, any other matter referred to it as a result. So we have, in a way, tabulated things that they must investigate. And probably the question that we need them to answer is whether there is anything else that is criminal in its nature that is not covered in this list. I think that is another question that we need to answer properly as we respond to this this submission. And by so saying, I'm not suggesting that the submission is now, but I think we need to answer that question as well as we respond to this submission. Thank you. Honorable Craig?
Thanks, Chair. My input is really around this new Clause 5 and new Clause 24, 1 and 2. If I can start with Clause 24, 1 and 2, which they're proposing be brought in on page 9, I'd just like to get some clarity because already we have a 24.2, which talks about, and says here, it talks about the bestowing on a police officer or police official powers as provided in Criminal Procedure Act 1977. Now, it seems to me that what he's got, here is the same as this. I need clarity. Also, in fact, the current 24.2 seems to go a lot further and actually detail some of the powers. So I'm just trying to get an understanding as to what is different to this as opposed to what's in the bill. I would need some help in understanding on that, because my understanding seems to be the same. Then if I can go to this new Clause 5, which is supposed to come in on line 51 on page 4, this indemnity seems to me to be very wide. And again, maybe it's because I'm not a legal person. But when I read it, it seems to be saying to me that any act performed, so it means it could be criminal, that could be anything, and they're indemnified. I think we would need some advice from the state law advisors whether this, in fact, is correct. Because this, when I read it, it just seems something seems wrong here. We could get some help on that. Thanks, Chair.
Jefferson, you somehow covered me regarding Clause 6 because I can understand why you would need it, but I also think it can be better worth it than the way it is currently. Because I agree, we've said that we've limited the scope of the ICD's work through this bill because we want them to investigate where it matters most. But I think the way it's written here, it's extremely, extremely wide. And my first suggestion would be, why would you not refer the complainant to the correct channels? Because for the investigation, at what point? Also, that's the other question that I've got. At what point are you going to make this reference to the police itself? Is it going to be after you've started this investigation, then see suddenly, well, we can't handle this investigation, it's too big for us, now we want to give it over? Because, I mean, that's also a possibility. Is it right at the beginning when you see it doesn't fall within your scope? You know, these issues are quite important to know exactly. I think we need more clarity on this whole thing, because the fact of the matter is, Jefferson, as it is here now, it doesn't give us a feeling, and I think that's why the Honourable George is uncomfortable with it as well. It doesn't give us a feeling of what it is that you are going to give to them. And also, I've got a problem with the any relevant commissioner. Are we talking about station commissioner? Shouldn't we then rather work on a formal way of routing those cases that comes to the under the attention of the IPED to the police? Who determines who's the relevant commissioner? Those are all issues that I feel are not clear under that draft. I can understand why you would need that. But if you just refer the complainant to the police on this issue, which you don't necessarily want as well because it might be that the complainant's scared or whatever the case may be, but surely there's got to be a bit more flesh around this point. I'm not clear on this point. I'm not saying that it shouldn't be there. I can understand why you've got it there. But I don't really know whether you need to have it because you can still, as a South African, refer them the case to the police. I think we need a bit more clarity on this whole issue. And then also I agree with the Honourable Schneeman that Clause 24, 1 and 2 discovered. And we even discussed in terms of how many days we gave the police, the minister, time to sign off on these police powers. Unless there's a different reason for it being there, I don't quite understand it. SAPS Act, the new Clause 5 that you've proposed, I don't understand why you just don't simply copy what is in the SAPS Act in terms of indemnity. Why come up with new wording that is as wide as, if you a Christian, as wide as God's forgiveness? So I'm really I'm buying brownie points. I don't understand the necessity of having a clause that differs from SAPS clause. You're talking about policing powers, you want the same indemnity, you're not allowed to have more of an indemnity than the police.
Honorable analyst at least understands why there might be a need for a clause like this. I don't understand. I fail to understand why, when there is proof that the police have a bad record investigating themselves, that criminal cases would be fed back to them. I fail to understand that. And I need to be clarified, when is it appropriate? Because there it says where appropriate. I need to be clarified, when would it be appropriate for the police to investigate criminal investigations? And thirdly, my Honourable did address the issue of relevant commissioners. Who is a relevant commissioner? Can a station commissioner be relevant to investigate a crime committed by police against another police or a member of the public? Who is relevant, and when do they determine whether, how will they determine whether a case needs a station commissioner, a provincial commissioner, national commissioner, and so on? This relevant commission, I think, it leaves too many questions unanswered. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, after you explaining the intention of the clause, I think this is a very important document that we need to close all the gaps. But here it's too wide and sweeping. Probably I would agree with Honorable Analyst that we need to paraphrase this thing better. Thanks.
I just wanted to ask in addition, I don't know that this clause doesn't actually contradict what we've already approved in our deliberations, in that we've said that any criminal matter must immediately be handed over to the NPA. And now you're saying it must actually be handed back to the SAPS, who may choose not to hand it to the NPA and deal with it in the matter that they've dealt with it for years and not it never sees the light of day again. So I actually have a huge problem with this.
We're sorry we were a bit late with our document, but we just wanted to refine it, and I think we've handed out our copies just now. In our copies on Clause 6, page 5, we have alluded to the Clause 6 that is in the additional proposals, and you will find that on the bottom of Clause 6. It's numbered sub-clause 9. And the intention behind this is that the executive director may, upon receipt of a complaint, investigate any offence allegedly committed by any member of the South African Police Service or Municipal Police Service, and may, where appropriate, refer such investigation to the national or provincial commissioner concerned. So that will take care of who it must be referred to, not to the station commander. I think that it's identified as the provincial and the national commissioner concerned. Because of the seriousness, it's not criminal matters, but any complaint. It's broader than the list as pointed out by Chairperson regarding the new Clause 27. And I think the Secretary will also just come and explain the reasoning behind the examples that we were provided with for the intention of drafting this particular clause, because I think it's necessary for us to understand why that there is a necessity for having something like this in the legislation. But it's up to the committee to decide whether it's necessary ultimately.
Maybe before I allow you, Honourable Member, you know when we send people back packing, it's when we learn things which we do not understand. I don't understand as to why we have this page talking to the same thing and the, this one talking to the same thing. What does this mean? Can I really get clarity just before I take any other hint? Is it that you're not working together to can produce one document? Because this is what we said as a portfolio committee, that you work together, the secretariat, the ICD, the state law advisors, you work together, you bring to us a document that all of you have inputted in. And can I just get clarity just on this one? Because at this stage, we can't decide to put this bill on the side and start with another bill and come back to it after 4 weeks. I mean, really, I think I have then to get clarity, because this is what we have said as a resolution of this portfolio committee. And nothing can outside that can happen outside. I just want to know, what is this? So can I get clarity on that?
Thanks, Chairperson. Sorry for the confusion about this. The document that we've prepared is the committee amendments that we were discussed yesterday, and we have then gone back and we've prepared a document. But subsequently, further amendments that was to be brought by the department regarding additional amendments that they want to propose to the committee regarding some of the issues, what was to be contained in a separate document, because it was not regarding the discussion of the committee. It was in addition that they wanted to bring to the committee's attention that this may be considered by the committee, and that's why it's in a separate document. So it's proposals that are being made by the department regarding certain matters that they think is important for the committee to consider. So that is in the one-page document. But this document is a combined document with all of the issues that were raised by the committee yesterday, and where we sat down and where we went through all the issues that were raised, and we combined in this document to provide you with the inputs that you requested yesterday.
In your discussion, you could not agree that probably one clause that is in here is covered in a particular way here. You couldn't do that.
Chairperson, I think what happened in this, there was an overlap on that additional proposal. The intention was that the indemnity clause and the policing powers issue is something that we just wanted to bring to the committee's attention. So that is the clauses I think that should be in the one-page document in front of the committee, because that is not something that was discussed in the committee. Thank you.
Chairperson, you see, my question of clarity, and I wanted to ask this before the Secretary comes in, is the fact that I hear what has been said, that Clause 6 as proposed by the department talks about criminal cases. The document, the combined document, talks about something different. A complaint, an offense. So that is, I think, the concern. We're talking about two completely different things. The one is saying criminal cases, and it talks about any commissioner. The other one says offense and complaints. And that's where my concern comes in, Chair. If the one is a proposal from, if this is, well, what I hear you say now is this is the proposal, And this is an additional proposal. Because they're not addressing the same thing.
In fact, what I think she's saying is that this document is our homework. This is what she's saying. And then over and above, she's saying this one is definitely not our homework. It's something completely new from their side, which they are putting before the portfolio committee to consider.
But my concern is, in response to this first paragraph, we were read paragraph 9.
Yes.
That is my concern. And the two differ completely. They address different issues. And that is where I'm confused.
Madam Chair, I think I don't want to repeat what Annelies said. They refer, they say addition, paragraph 9, which they have in this new document. And paragraph 9, honestly speaking, if written like that, we have no problem. That's what we agreed. But because paragraph 9 talks about complaints, and we have no problem with that being referred. But this one talks something about criminal investigations, and it's completely different. And when the state law advisor was responding, she also mentioned complaints. And if she was, if this is what it is meant, complaint, surely we have agreed about that. We have no problems with some complaints, disciplinary complaints, and all other complaints being referred to any relevant commissioner. If it has happened in the station, surely that complaint will be referred to. It's that if you read this document, this clause 9 here, and this one is appropriate, and in fact it's the same sentence. That's why, to me, it's the same sentence. The only difference is that here they've used the word, which is what is a criminal investigation. That is why their question is, if it's a criminal investigation, like, at what stage, after they finish investigation, or what is it, what time, and all those things. That's why we also need clarity, because the response from the state law advisors, if it's what they meant, complaints and some offenses done by the police, we have no problem if, after investigation, they discover that, no, this is not a criminal offense, this is a matter for duty. We have already said that. We refer that to the appropriate or any relevant commissioner.
Can I just firstly respond to the two different documents? When we met, some of the ICD staff members were saying, how would this matter be handled in terms of what the Secretariat has now put into the bill? So we agreed on these amendments as it was proposed, and then suggested that they go and look at that and come with a suggestion. And I would agree that the wording is far too broad. I think the matter that they were referring to was to some extent quite specific to certain types of things. Were you investigating a police officer for a shooting, and you continue to investigate him for the shooting as you must do, but in the course of that you find that this police officer is involved in a whole lot of organized crime stuff, CIT heists, whatever the case may be, with non-police officers, which becomes a matter which you continue to investigate the shooting, but you want the hawks to, and that's one of the things that we need to look at in terms of the wording. It needs to be very specific. As to what you're referring, but there may be cases where the ICG, during the course of the investigation, find that not only did this police officer shoot somebody, but they also linked to a huge organized crime syndicate, and it happens. The ICD doesn't have the capacity to do that sort of investigation, but there must be an ability for it to refer that matter, something that they've come up with in the investigations. And when we asked the state law advisors today, is there the ability for the ICD to refer that, and they said we would need to look at it. So that the executive director was then asked to go and draft something on that. On the liability clause, we were saying let's take what's in the FATS Act and include that. So I think we need to look at the wording of the liability. The idea was to use the same wording that is in the FATS Act around liability. So that's just to...
So what, I just want to highlight the Amersfoort incident. Three policemen killed by 10 people, criminals. Of that 10, I think 2 were subs working with criminals from Matadeni police station, killed subs, course, it doesn't matter whether it was subs that were killed. It could have been anybody. But they killed subs members, and two of those, something that happened just this year, two of those are subs employed by the department working in a police station, Matatini, Newcastle, KZN. It's a reality. Now, arrested with the 10 of them. I'm just bringing in that as an example, just so that we think broad. Your hand, Honorable Annelies, Honorable Ms. Colabana, Honorable Craig, is your hand up? No. Okay. Honorable Ms. Chief.
Jefferson, you see, now already there's a different picture. Because then we need, and I think that's what we're saying. If you want to bring this in, and I can understand why you would want to bring it in, and I'm saying it again. I can understand why you want to bring it in. But then you need to reword it, because the way it's worded here, you're absconding your responsibility. And I think it is, if during an investigation, if during the course of an investigation, the ICD identifies that a member of SAPS, or whatever, the examples that you've used, are involved in another issue of crime, those incidents should be brought under the attention of the police for further investigation, whatever. Or if during an investigation the IPED uncovers further criminal cases which falls outside the ambit of the IPED, then we're already narrowing it down.
Yes.
It should be referred, but then again, a proper way to refer it. Not any relevant commissioner, because then IPED is also can also be corruptible, and you don't want them to refer it to a commissioner who they know are not going to investigate it. So I'm saying it must be a proper way of doing it, and those would be my suggestions. It's during the course of an investigation, of a current investigation, they uncover possible criminal offences which falls outside the ambit of IPED. They must refer those, and then they must work on how they're going to refer it and to whom they're going to refer it.
Yes, as you agree, I just want to bring in something else so that as we continue. I'm arrested, I'm a woman. I'm not raped. But somebody touches me, the police touches me everywhere, and I want to, it's not right, according to the definition of rape. As long as there is no penetration, it's not right. But I really feel like I've been violated. How do I process that? I'm just asking all this so that we respond to this understanding that there will be such things. Honorable Tefa, when I come to you, you must know. Honorable Kulabanat.
Yeah, Chair, I agree with a great deal of what Honorable Annelies has said. You know, this clause as it is, and I think we have to keep on and on and on reminding ourselves and everyone in the room that this legislation is not written for individuals. They're written for someone who in 10 years' time might have some booty in a particular station who, as was said, suggested, you know, they may say, oh, well, let's just shunt it off to that station and they'll clear whoever. But I would like to highlight the fact that, as was made very clear yesterday, every investigation, a report is written immediately and a copy is supposed to be sent to the ICD. The copy that remains is being investigated by the SAPS. Obviously, they have to investigate a murder or a rape or a whatever, as happens. The case is not simply abandoned, and the ICD does its own investigation. But I can see that we're, and I prefer, or I agree with the wording that was suggested, that we say, you know, if they come across something that's not within their ambit. But is that not what they would do anyway? I mean, I can't understand why we're actually legislating for them to do what they're obliged to do anyway. I mean, if they come across a criminal action, obviously they would hand it over to the SAPS. Is that something we actually need
to tell them in this legislation. It's just this where appropriate is so wide and broad. I mean, it's giving carte blanche to them to dish any case out anywhere at any stage. So I don't actually know why this is being put in.
I think what we the view here is that surely there may be a need, but there's a need for rewriting it properly, that it takes into account all the issues raised by members. But I wouldn't think that ASAPS will investigate such cases at all. I can imagine if it is murder by a SAPS member, it goes straight to the IP for investigation, so that the IP will then refer it to MPA for MPA to prosecute. Otherwise, if SAPS was also to investigate, it would mean they're investigating, SAPS is investigating, referring it to MPA from two points. It can't. I think it they are doing the work, and that is why they're giving police powers, so that they can actually do the work of police on police. That is what we're doing. Let me take a executive director here.
No, thank you, Chair. No, I think it's a good discussion. I think we're in agreement with the proposal in the homework document, the 9. It's much more, I think, suitable. But I think the example, and we specifically discussed also this morning, is about those corruption cases.
Can I just get the term? Are you saying clause 9, 6-9? Yes, clause 6-9 covers what you have proposed here, because what I heard is that members are saying they understand this, and it's surely not addressing your clause 9. Clause 9 is not addressing your proposal. But they are saying you then need to rewrite it, you know, taking into cognizance this debate that has ensued here.
I just want to give you an example, because I think, again, in the end, the execution of the Act, the practical issues is going to be vital. I want to refer to the big investigation that is currently done by the Hawks in terms of the procurement. That initial thing was started by ICD, and we referred it to the Hawks because of the complexity of it, and in terms of the magnitude and the specialized skills. So the motive in terms of our suggestion is just to make it possible that we can refer such issues in terms of our current mandate. Then, in terms of the indemnity, I agree with Mr. Schumann, he's absolutely correct. We will have definitely to have, say, maybe add the word lawful before the word act. Well, and then, Chair, in terms of clause 24, 1 and 2, I think we took the suggestion that it should be similar than that of the SAPS.
Chairperson, my question is, why don't they just take the definition as it is in the SAPS Act, rather than try to add and insert new things? Why not exactly as it is?
Sorry, the executive director is confused at this point in time. We're saying clause 5, use the definition, use the way it's in the SAPS Act. We say 24, we feel are covered for already. That's what we're saying, not the other way around.
Respond. I think that
and you are protected. Surely you are not confused.
Okay. Okay. Can I just clarify what we had discussed this morning was taking chapter 6.7 under 35 of the Act, where it says an investigator will be given policing powers contemplated in section 24 within 35. Within 3 months after his appointment. All we were suggesting by the Minister of Police. That was the only thing, so that it's very clear that the Minister is the person that must grant those powers. So if you look at the Act, okay, page 9 of your Act, okay, chapter 6 of the bill, chapter 6, clause 22, page 9, chapter 6, clause 22, point 7, which is on line 35. Mm-hmm. All we had suggested, so I'm not sure why we need such a bulky thing when we met this morning, was an investigator is given policing powers contemplated in section 24.2 within 3 months after his or her appointment by the Minister of Police. So it makes it clear that it's the minister who grants the policing powers. That was the only amendment. I'm not sure that we need this long thing. That was what we discussed this morning in terms of that. The suggestion was also this morning that the liability clause of SAPS be used, the wording of the liability clause of SAPS be used. No, we asked the ICD to go and present that. So I'm saying that these issues can be resolved simply by just adding in the words by the Minister of Police. So it's clear that the minister is the person that grants the policing powers, not that nobody else.
Sorry, just English semantics. If you put by the Minister of Police, it means the appointment is by the Minister of Police. What you're meaning to refer to is the granting of the policing powers. So I would suggest an investigator is given policing powers contemplated in section... No, is given policing powers as contemplated in section 24.2 by the Minister of Police within 3 months after his or her appointment. So you need to put it immediately after the appointment of the powers.
Sorry, Chair, can I just clarify that it wasn't a disagreement. It was just that when we met this morning, we said, can the ICD just go and draft those sections? So there was no disagreement. It was just that we got this document now.
Okay, I'm allowed to say I'm confused. No, Chairperson, I think that makes sense. But what we're saying is we're not arguing with that point. What we're saying is, and that is what why I used the word confused, and I'll use another word. I don't know what word. If you look at 24.1 and 2, as proposed on this one page, what we're saying is it's not necessary. It is there. It's in 24.1.2 already. So we don't say that must be according to the SAPS Act. That needs to be scrapped. And then what we're saying is Clause 5 should read as per the SAPS Act and not only lawful act. Yeah.
When you've suggested in the single sheet, 24.2, the business of the executive director issuing a document to say this person is duly authorized. Is that covered anywhere else in the Act, or do we have to add that as perhaps a point 8 under 22. Chair, it seems it's not been added that there is a responsibility to issue such certificate. So my suggestion would be it is added in the bill in Chapter 6, number point 22, as number 8. Just do an extra line saying it is the responsibility to make sure that every member has a certificate saying, yes, the police powers are now granted as of this date.
I'm American, but not too. You are on clause 24.1.2, yes, okay. And you are saying the minister shall authorize the identified members of the directorate to exercise the powers and functions conferred or assigned to any member of SAPS in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act as amended and any other law. Are we
Chair,
saying this is not covered?
Chair, the first part is covered now.
Okay.
It's part two. Part two where it says the executive director shall issue a document.
In the prescribed form.
Exactly.
Which shall serve as proof to certify that such a member of the directorate has been duly authorized to exercise the powers and perform the duties as contemplated in section 24.1.
Yes. And I'm suggesting that piece that you just read was added in as number 8 in the bill, 22.8.
Honourable Grant?
Chair, it's really just for clarity. Let's say that wasn't put in, and you left the amendment proposed by the Secretary under Clause 7, 22.7, where it said where we're adding the words by the Minister of Police. If you just had that, what would happen in such when those powers are granted by the Minister of Police? Would that be then issuing the person with some sort of letter or card or something? I just want to get clarity as to what would happen if we didn't add this, what the Honourable Bonner is suggesting we add.
Essentially, if you didn't have...
Well, in practice, Chair, what would happen, the minister would apply for the policing powers to the minister. The minister would then issue policing powers. So it will be like a submission of names of people who have been issued with policing powers. Now, the executive director, after receiving that from the minister, will then issue these certificates, which would be like your appointment cards, indicating that this person has been conferred with the policing powers from which they.
Just clarify, it's fine to put it in the bill. It could also be an operational matter. We issue cards to all our staff members. Now, it's a new thing where all our staff members have with the secretariat, what they're allowed to do in terms of the secretariat on the back, their photograph on the front. It could be an operational issue, but there's no reason not to put it in the bill either, that the executive director, that when they go to a police station, they're not going to be carrying their security certificate with them. That's a security clearance certificate. This is about the, so you could put it in the bill. It could also be an operational matter. For us, it's an operational matter, but there's no problem putting it in the bill.
Madam Chair, I mean, if it's an operational issue, then there's discretion, and I think it's a wise idea to put it in a bill to make it an obligation so that members of the public can at least know that this is the situation and that they've got some proof of it.
You need an identity. You can't investigate. If you must introduce yourself, you must produce identity. And to me, that's operational, and I agree with the state law advisors. Whether you want to put that...
The secretary.
I agree with the secretary. Whether you want to put that in the bill, to me, that's an operational matter. You can't have investigators who can identify themselves. That's like the police. The police have got a card which they demonstrate, but I don't see it in the card that you must do that. I mean, it's an operational matter. But if the executive director wants them, everything is fine. I don't want us to argue about that. Everybody agrees that it is necessary. It's an operational matter.
The executive director shall issue a document in the prescribed form which shall serve as proof to certify that such a member of the directorate has been duly authorized to exercise the powers and perform the duties as contemplated in section 24.1. Indeed, this is an operational matter. It's really. But we can, I don't think it's going to harm anybody, but really that this is a real operational matter. You know, that I'm a member of parliament in the, I visit police station, I might have something that identifies me. If this is what it means, unless it means something else, it really is an operational matter, which necessarily may not be legislated, but there's no harm in legislating it, of course, but it's a real operational matter. Okay, thank you very much. What we are saying, therefore, just on this one, a submission, we are saying indeed
rewrite this proposed clause 6 to mean what we have discussed here. We are saying clause 5, indemnity, go to the sub-act, write it as it is there. Clause 24.1, we're saying 24.1 really it's already covered. 24.2, it's real operational. We can do without it, we can do with it, it doesn't matter. So it's up to the, if the directorate feels strongly that it must be accommodated, then it's fine, but really, yeah, we might not really have to legislate. Let's move on to our homework. Yes.
Before you move on to the homework, there's another piece of stuff that we were asked to look at, and that was in relation to the domestic violence bill and the repeal and what we're amending. We've done that. Basically, we've gone through it. All it is the ICD's function in terms of...
We are going to our, that's part of our home.
Okay.
So we definitely are going to have all that because there's no way we're not going to have that. It's part of our homework. So I'm just checking. Yeah, it's part of our homework. Let's go to chapter 1. Page 1. I mean, page 2. Yes, let's go. Let's go to our homework now. And please take us through a committee panel.
Thank you, Chairperson. The first issue, I think, in terms of the order of the document is on page 3, the new clause regarding the objects of the bill that was requested by members. And the... combined documents. 15A, 2010. Yeah, that's right. Chair, yes. The new clause on page 4 of the line 51 of the section 3 to insert the following section, objects. The objects of the directorate are to A, conduct independent and impartial investigations of identified criminal offences allegedly committed by members of the South African Police Service and Municipal Police Services. B, ensure that criminal offences committed by members of the South African Police Service and Municipal Police Services are timelessly reported. C, that recommendations by the Directorate are properly implemented, thereby enhancing accountability. And D, enhance accountability and transparency by the South African Police Service and the Municipal Police Service in accordance with the principles of the Constitution.
It's difficult because it's now the first time we see it, but I'm still a bit uncomfortable with this. If you look at the memorandum on the objects of the bill, it refers to the Constitution. I would have thought that one would do it here as well. And I'm worried about specifically B. How are you going to ensure that criminal offences committed by SAPS are timelessly reported? It's not up to you to report them. I'm just asking. I'm just worried whether we shouldn't we in this thing look at what the Constitution requires, and do the object of the bill with that as a basis, as it is in the legislation currently in your memorandum. Because this is you know. First of all, if you want to start with report, then start with report and then investigate. But I'm just
on that object number 2, ensure that criminal offences committed by members of the subs and municipal police services are timely reported. We just within 24 months, did we not say that? By the
say this is the object of this bill, not.
Yeah. Yes, Chair, the way this begins is this is an object of the directorate. Now, the bill is instructing the SAFs, as we've laid out, to report immediately, and then a written report within 24 hours. Not the directorate doing that. So I think I absolutely agree. I think that B must be taken out. It's just not relevant. It is a directive of the bill. It's not of it's not, I suppose, an object. Object of the directorate, but how you're supposed to, I don't know, is the directorate there to enforce the bill? I don't see that.
Can the state lawyer advisors advise us, please just educate me. Me, let me talk for myself. What is supposed to be in an object of the ball?
Yeah, I think I'm what should it be in here? Should it be the object of the directorate or of the bill itself? Ms. Chafer, do you have a question?
I have a question, but it's quite a fundamental one, and I don't know if you want to rather wait until they've replied and before I raise it, but I mean, it's a concern that I've just picked up, really. I had a look at the Constitution section, 2066, and I have two concerns with whether this is complying with the Constitution. First of all, it only refers to a complaint by a provincial executive, and second of all, it says it has to investigate any alleged misconduct of or offence committed by a member of the police. So is this bill actually complying with the Constitution?
Chairperson, the object of a bill is to capture what the bill intends to do. It lists the aims and the objectives of the bill. That is what must be captured within the objects. It's not the objects of the directorate, it's the objects of the act. It will become the act later on. If one wants to refer and one wants to enhance and make sure that the impartiality and the independence and those issues are addressed, I would suggest that we have a preamble wherein we then say to we have one, then it can just enhance the preamble to say what exactly are we providing for, because in the preamble what we're saying is 26 of the Constitution provides for the complaint lodged. I think that will address some of the concerns regarding the Constitution and how are we going to give effect to the constitutional principles. So that is the purpose of a preamble, is to say the in a flowery way, I'm sorry to use the terminology, but it's in a flowery way addressing what exactly this bill will aim to do, and we must address in there the constitutional values, the principles, and the things that we want to address in the preamble. But in the objects, we must address what the bill aims to do, or the act will aim to do. Thank you.
I also think so. That it should be the objects of the bill now, or of the act, not of the directorate, which is established in terms of which is established by the act itself. Let's. No, we have this object, because I think even the questions on clause two, in fact, I mean object number B, is asked because it's not this object, objects of the directorate, not of the bill. Probably would be talking something different if these were the objects of the bill. I don't know. I think that needs to be corrected, immediately. That definitely needs to be corrected. Honorable Reverend Bishop?
May I ask a general question? And the question is, when a bill is drafted, are the legal advisors not there to help ensure that everything in the bill is in line with the purpose? And now when you get this explanation about the optical of the view, while we agree with that, why were they not there to help the executive director with what he put in this? Because I do not understand why what he's saying is different, what he has done is different from what they're saying now. Because they're legal advisors.
Okay, but you also have an answer to my question, please.
The constitutionality of the bill. Ms. Chiefa is saying, Honorable Chiefa is saying, whereas Section 20066 of the Constitution provides that on receipt of a complaint lodged by a provincial executive, an independent police complaints body established by national legislation must investigate any alleged misconduct of or offence committed by a member of the police service in the province. I think all that we need to do is to refer to clauses that are talking to this, any alleged misconduct, because I think some of the clauses that we're discussing are trying to capture it. But maybe we can refer to that.
The clause that refers to where MEC is that provincial executive authority may refer any matter to the ICD, to the IPID, captures that aspect of the Constitution. Maybe the state law advisors who certified it can clarify. But that question of what we've put in the bill under section, under the functions of the secretariat, under the functions of IPID, where it says that the MEC can refer any matter, it captures that aspect of the bill. But the state law advisors can maybe also comment on it.
Madam Chair, it's not only that issue, it's the issue of any alleged misconduct, and we are deliberately excluding misconduct in general from this bill, and I want to know whether that is actually going to be constitutional.
Chair, they must answer that question, but I don't agree that we're excluding misconduct. Because we're not. We've got a whole section dealing with disciplinary actions. And I really don't think why are we trying to create an impression at this stage that the bill is not constitutional? Can we get an idea, please?
We are. And even the section that we've agreed upon here to say they must rewrite this clause 6 is also talking to it. That any other matter outside this list that is here will also have to be attended to. We have said all that they have to do is to properly rewrite that. And then the reasons why I actually read the list was to say there are other things that necessarily are not captured in the list. What then do we do? And I think the ICD is the ICD, the would be IPT, is actually trying to address that. And as far as I'm concerned, I think that will definitely make us to meet the requirements of the Constitution.
Yeah, when I look at the new proposed 6, then I think I'm covered on it. Sorry.
Thanks. But it's a good question. It makes us to think so that we don't take things for granted. Okay. Videsh, what we were saying, that the objects themselves, that they are objects of the directorate, it's wrong. It should be the object of this act, of this bill. Because this is an act, so we want to know the object of the act, not of the directorate. That's what we want, and that is what you really need to look into to rewrite, so that without reading the act itself, we'll just read the object and say, oh, okay, this is what this act seeks to achieve. So that when I go to the act itself, I then say, oh, how is this first object achieved by this act? How is it made? So that is what we want. So you definitely need to really look into that. The state law advisor has also suggested that we revisit the preamble. I would say, are you saying that?
No.
Or the preamble as it is, it's okay? Because we didn't say you must rewrite it. But are you suggesting that maybe it should be improved?
No, Chairperson, I just wanted to refer the committee to the preamble wherein we say that the bill complies with the relevant provisions in the Constitution, and that is where you will then bring in the Constitution and the values and the principles and those things. That's all I'm saying, and I don't believe that we need to rewrite the preamble. I think it's a, it suffices as it is. Thank you.
Like what needs to be rewritten is this object of the bill. Thank you very much. Please do that. We then let's proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. The next issue, I think, is on page 9, if I'm correct. Of the combined document. It refers on page 9 of the combined document, B15, on page 11, after line 3, to insert the following section. Page 9, 3 of this document, this B15A document that was distributed on page 9 of that. Page 9 of the combined document, if we can go to, towards the middle of the page, new clause, on page 11 after line 3, to insert the following section, type of matters to be investigated. Chairs 27.1, we list there the issues, and I think to accommodate then the suggestions, A, any deaths in police custody, there was a suggestion that we should put in a new B, deaths as a result of police actions, and then C, to deal with the issue of shootings, and we propose any discharge of a firearm by any police officer that causes an injury to any person, whether that police officer is on or off duty. So that's C, to encompass that proposal. Then the two issues of rape D and E that was in the previous version. Then F, any complaint of torture or assault. Then the corruption matters have been brought up from a may to a must. So that would be corruption matters within the police initiated by the executive director on its own or after receipt of a complaint from a member of the public or referred to the directorate by the minister, MEC or the secretary as the case may be. And then the H, any other matter referred to it as a result of a decision of the executive director or if so requested by the minister, MEC or the secretary as the case may be. And then Chair, of course in the prescribed manner, and then two is the maze. The directorate may investigate matters relating to systemic corruption involving the police. And the new three, the executive director may initiate any investigation in respect of the discharge of a firearm that causes injury to a person, taking into account all the relevant facts regarding the incident. Okay, that is then, yeah.
This is not what we agreed to. In C, we said there were police shooting and there's a complainant. We didn't say there must be an injury. We never said there must be an injury. In fact, we were addressing your issue that you raised right from the beginning, where you said, what happens? There's been no injury. I mean, there's a clear example of it currently in the Western Cape, in the metro of the Western Cape. 2 years ago with the xenophobic attacks, where Metro police officers fired at children. We were playing on the ground with politicians. Then we're not playing with the politicians. Metros were with politicians. Fired at the kids, not hurting them. Now, with what's in this bill, that will not be investigated. And that should be investigated. And that's what we've phrased, is that we've said we want where there are shootings, even if there's no injury, but there's a complainant, that it be investigated. Now, neither B, C, nor that new last three, which also gives them a discretionary function, which we didn't agree on either. We didn't say that. And then I've got a problem, Chair, with C again. Are we now saying that the IPED, and if that's what we're saying, then we need to discuss it, that IPED is going to investigate every single case where a police officer has been involved in a shooting, even if they were not on duty? Because that contradicts what you've just asked us to put in terms of where the matter, you want to refer certain matters back to the police. I think it's extremely wide. Now, I'm a police officer. I'm drunk. Get into a fight. I shoot somebody. Is that what we're saying? We want IPA to be the investigators on that? If that's what we're saying, then we need to discuss it. But all I'm saying to you, the issues that we've raised, these are new issues. It's not what we've raised. It's not covering what we've raised.
I understand what the Honourable Van Wyk is saying, but... excuse me, Madam Chair, if I may continue. We can't have any discharge of a firearm either, because that's even wider. I mean, you can't have any... So, I mean, how do we then define, if it doesn't cause an injury, what criteria are we going to then use? Because that can also be abused, where there is a complainant. I mean, that can also be a whole wide issue. Anyway, Honourable Van Wyk is very upset when I interject when she's talking. I would appreciate the same courtesy from her. But, thank you, Madam Chair. it's difficult. What actually are they wanting to achieve? Because you can't just say any discharge of a firearm where there is a complainant, because you can get a lot of spurious claims coming to the ICD from people who say, oh, well, so-and-so shot in my direction, or pointed me at, and we've got to be careful of that, too.
Thanks, Chair. No, I think I'm pretty much covered by the Honourable Van Wyk. However, I think I would disagree with the point raised by the Honourable Schaefer. I think that if a police officer shoots at somebody, then that type of thing should also be investigated. I don't think it can just be about injury, but there have been incidents. I mean, let me raise this. There's been allegations that members of the VIP Protection Service have shot at motorists, haven't injured anybody, but have shot into tires and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we then saying that those things shouldn't be investigated?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would be correct. Complaint is lodged. I think it should be investigated. So I don't think we should restrict this to injury.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chair.
In fact, We said any incident of shooting where there is a complaint, and we said please go and write it better. But that was the principle. I'm just bringing back the principle, you know. And any discharge of a firearm by any police officer that causes an injury to any person, whether that police officer is on or off duty. Police officers, they carry along with them a state firearm. They are drunk and they shoot at somebody with it. Police firearm, should it be investigated or not investigated? I think we need to think about that. Where a state firearm is used, off duty or on duty, they are fighting over a woman. Yes. And the police officer who happens to have a state firearm shoots at this other boyfriend. Should that be investigated by the IPED or not? Should it happen? How should that be treated? I'm just asking these questions. Office off duty. He shoots at his children at home and everybody else. Or neighbor. Others die, but others do not die. They don't get injured. Should it be investigated by IP? I'm just bringing these things. They are using the state firearm. Honorable Chief, Honorable Lula Judge,
than secretariat.
Madam Chair, just on that issue, maybe a suggestion could be that they should be investigated if they are purporting to act in their official capacity. So even if they are officially off duty, but they're saying I'm a police officer, stop, whatever, then maybe we could look at that, and they shoot at somebody. And then, I mean, just on the Honourable Schneeman's point, I mean, if you have a police people running around shooting after alleged cash in transit heist criminals, then theoretically one of their little comrades can come and lay a complaint and say he shot at my comrade rather than my colleague. You know, that's what we're actually saying. So we need to just make sure that that's not covered as well. Maybe it could be like, you know, other than in pursuit of a friend or something like that.
Comrade, does the comrade come in now?
Chair, I'd appreciate if that statement could be withdrawn. Because that statement is trying to insinuate something, and I object entirely to raising a statement about comrades, etc. Can that please be withdrawn?
It didn't mean anything by it whatsoever, but I will certainly withdraw it if it causes any offence.
I want to agree with Annelies. This sea is too broad. You see, when we talked about IPD investigating a rape by the police, even when they are off duty, I asked the question which was never answered. What is the volume of cases now? It's because we must be very careful about creating a situation, unless this IPD is going to be a very big organization. You see, from what I know, the shooting about police, especially the thing they're talking about girlfriends in Shebeens, sometimes even not boyfriends, just ordinary fighting. If we are going to take all those also to be investigated, I also agree it must be, injury must be removed. But any shooting by the police must be investigated. But not other things we talk about, if the fight, if the police have proven that they have investigated those successfully and those ordinary crimes. But we must make the police accountable. That's the aim of the bill, is to make the police accountable. But to say everything that's done by the police is going to be investigated, I don't believe it will serve the purpose. In fact, this IPD will come back to us after even before a year and say, no, this is too much. Unless we're going to have increased their number also to be the same number that the police.
Can I just, technically, there's also a contradiction in terms of what is here. Because, first of all, if you look at AC, as it's written now, it says they must. And it says basically the same thing as free, but then it brings in, at free, it brings in may. And then to go further, it then gives discretionary powers as well, taking into account all the relevant facts regarding the incident. 27.1c says any discharge of a firearm by any police officer that causes an injury to any person, whether that police officer is on or off duty. 3 says the executive director may initiate any investigation in respect of the discharge of a firearm that causes any injury to a person, taking into account all the relevant facts regarding the incident. Now, this is not only referring to the police. They can now investigate anything. Discharge of a firearm, it doesn't even say police.
And the one is must and the one is made. So this is completely. I don't want to respond to the last question or the issue of whether it should be on or off duty. I just wanted to raise the issue of complainants. One of the problems, and I think we need to look at how we word it maybe differently, is that a complainant, if I get shot by the police and I'm shot in the spine and I land up in hospital, and I don't have a family member that goes and that is a complainant in the case, then officially there's no case because there's no complainant in the case. But I can't complain because I'm lying in hospital with a bullet in my spine. So I think what we were trying to do was to avoid that situation. So I think if injury is too broad, and if it doesn't address what
Honourable Member Van Dijk was saying about a shooting where there isn't an injury, then we need to relook at the wording. But we didn't want to it to be only a complainant, because I didn't think the intention of this committee was to exclude somebody because they couldn't go and make a complaint, because they couldn't become an official complainant. So I think that was the problem and why the word injury was then used. And if that's too narrow to address the issue of where there isn't an injury, then we need to look at it. The issue of off and on duty is something the committee, as I said, needs to discuss, and it may be broadening it too broad. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. You see, when you look at 27.1 C, it talks about investigating this discharge. Now, you see, we looked at the kind of situation that we normally have in practice, where a member, whether he's on duty or off duty, commits an offence, like say he gets into an argument with someone, shoots this person, and report a matter at the station as if this person was attacking that particular member. And when you investigate, you find that it's an independent case of where of a blatant attempted murder, for that matter. Now, the situation you find yourself is normally in those situations you find out maybe there is a cover-up at that particular station by fellow members in terms of properly investigating that matter. Now, the reason why we're saying there should be a discretion is so that we are able to, after having received that kind of complaint, make an assessment as to whether is it the kind of complaint that we really want to investigate or not. And I think that is why there's an issue of discretion that comes in there.
But the complaint is not contradiction.
At C, it says must. At 3, it says may. Because at 3, it's saying exactly what he's saying. But C does not say that. C says they must. That's why I'm saying they're not explaining that.
So the Honourable Judge does not have to raise his hand in order to
No, Chairperson, I'm afraid I hear what has been said. But again here, now the example that is used is they would be is a death. Now, that should be investigated by the ICD. So police shooting... Maybe what we need to look at it. First of all, nobody's giving me an answer on the contradiction. I'm still waiting for that answer, because the one says must, and it was our decision, principal decision. The other one says may. Now, whether you want to investigate it or not, quite frankly, what we've decided is there are certain things that you shall investigate. These were one of them. That's the first thing. This is the one of them. What we need to clarify is whether we want to include police officers off duty using official firearms. That is a different story. That is a different story. If you say to us that is what you want to include, then it starts making sense, because it's now an abuse of the state firearm that was issued to that person as well. But then it must be must. Then there's no discretionary powers. I don't like the words that I hear about we must decide whether we want to or not investigate, whether it's the kind of case that we decide we want to or not investigate, because that was the words used. There are certain obligations on you to investigate. When you're investigating, you see this is not a case. You're not continuing with it. But still, Chairperson, even the issue that the Secretary respond to in terms of the injury issue, I still don't believe it's correct. We can say... if we word this thing properly, it would be a question of injury but also complaint. They're not covering the complaint part of it, the complainant part of it, and it needs to be covered. You can I don't believe it's necessary to have two different sections dealing with the same issue, first of all. I think we can have one issue saying police shooting, where there's an injury, a complainant, and whatever. And whether we want to put on and off duty or whether we want to say with an official firearm, that is what we need to talk about.
Shelley, I will support the issue of an official firearm used on or off duty, because otherwise they will go to Hillbro when they're off duty. They will conduct these road searches when they're off duty and shoot at people anytime, and that's what is happening. It's actually happening. You know, there's a case where they were stopping. In fact, they were... No, let me talk about something I don't know. Just I was about to say. But it happens. People are off duty. They actually are involved in these drug syndicates, and they're on the road. Come the police that are on duty, they rush to the area where the drugs are kept. They go to that area to search. They found police that are off duty. Should that be a case? So I'm just saying these things do happen, and I think it's important. I would definitely say on and off duty if it's an official pistol that must be investigated. And we're bringing in both the issue of injury, yes, which I think you are, but also the issue of the complainant, the presence of the complainant in that case, which also must be investigated. Your hand was up, say, I will hear you.
Can I make a suggestion in terms of three? The reality is that the ICD must investigate. A preliminary investigation could decide there's no case here and close it. You don't need to have this discretion because a case may actually be investigated. And the preliminary thing is we close this case, there's no unlawful activity here. And that is allowed for in under the must. This discretion isn't necessarily then necessary.
Okay. And then the May side of it?
We must drop three. First of all, I think that's a decision we must take, so that we drop three.
Three.
The new three that I put in here. The executive director may initiate any investigation in respect of the discharge of a firearm that causes an injury to a person. Because, I mean, first of all, it's not talking about police or anything like that. So let's drop three, and then let's focus on one clause and the one that can address these issues.
You know, for once, I don't even know as to where these three comes from. Because even as far as I know, if it is 27, if it is 27-2, oh, okay, it's systemic corruption. And three, I don't know where it comes from. It's definitely not. We never discussed it at all yesterday. In fact, we said we now are going to have up to two, and we moved D to must investigate. And we said, therefore, the May will only remain with the systemic corruption involving police. That was.
There's something slightly different that you raised earlier today. If you look at F, any complaint of torture or assault, and then just to add, including sexual assault, which would cover your issue of where there isn't penetration, but there's a, so that you just add, including sexual assault, under assault and torture.
Listen, I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I have a problem with us just knee-jerking adding things. Because sexual assault, are we now wanting them to deal with every complaint within the SAPS that comes up, even with sexual assault amongst colleagues? What about internal disciplinary processes? Are they now going to become the labor court for the SAPS? If we say any complaint of torture or assault, including sexual assault. But it's broad. It's extremely broad. Torture and assault, you can understand where it happens. And we don't want to say of a detainee, because we can say maybe of a detainee. David, can we say that? Of a detainee. You see, Jefferson, I'm just worried because I don't, we must be careful for...
I wouldn't say detainee, no, because there could be the situation where people are being held just for questioning or whatever.
In police custody.
Might not be detained as such, but they might just be being interrogated or questioned or asked for statements. They might not have been arrested as such.
Okay.
And it could still be in the police station. So.
You can sense in police custody is the same thing as detaining.
Yeah, let you exclude internal issues, as you're saying, against a member of the public, perhaps.
We can actually say in custody, because we said that with the right part of it as well. And we discussed the right part. We said that that also is a witness that are raped, or a somebody picked up on the street, and vagrants picked up on the street, put in the back of a van. They're not really arrested, they're removed from the street. And in that process, they are raped. So maybe the solution would then be to say while in custody. Sexual assault where in custody.
Chair, if I read this clause 27 as a whole, we're talking about sexual assault, and that could give rise to complaints about SAPS members, about another SAPS member. But if you just add something in there about while in custody for that line, can I just say then, if you look at C, you could have an SAPS member who's shot by another SAPS member, because it does happen. There have been cases. I don't know. Then you have to then bring in something there as well, that you do not. Just need clarity, that's all.
Yeah. Chair, it's not exactly the same with rape, because D deals with rape by a police officer completely. So D is any rape by a police officer, whether they're on or off duty. E is rape of any person while that person is in custody. And sexual assault doesn't only happen in custody. I had an incident in my community about a week ago where police raided premises. And allegedly, while they were searching people, they weren't taken into custody. They were still busy doing a search of the premises, and they apparently stuck their hands down people's underwear and so on. So I'll be very careful how we word that.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to make the committee aware that in terms of our statistics, the biggest number of complaints that we receive, criminal matters, are your assaults, common assault, GBH, your attempted murder. Those number, in excess of 500 respectively on an annual basis. I think in 2009-10, they are going to, some of those are going to go towards 1,000. Then you have rape. Rape, so far, maybe because there's no obligation on the police to report rape, we have received about, on average, 25 cases per annum. But on another matter, the issue of clarity on certain offences being committed when a police officer is on duty or off duty is very important, because even with regards to deaths, the police might, they hang on to some definition that was arrived at in
1997 that says a police officer must act in his capacity or her capacity. That means on duty for it to be considered a death in, as a result of police action. And practically, that gives that tends to give us some problems. So the committee needs to look at those issues. Thanks. My advice would be, for instance, in where you say the directorate must investigate deaths as a result of police action, you need to then specify that on or off duty, because it's a matter of concern for us there. With regards to the others, the reason I'm raising the others is that the committee has been debating the issue of shooting, which doesn't result in death. Now, the issue of attempted murder is one of those where somebody is shot, they don't die, and you know there needs to be clarity on that. I don't really have an answer there, but I think the committee must clarify so that when we now operate practically, we don't have problems in regard to these issues.
Yes, you also need to remember that your presence here is to guide us on those issues, practical issues, to say if this will give us problems in the implementation of the bill, blah blah blah, and so it's practical, it's not practical. And that is why you are here. And then we discuss these issues and agree and take decisions on them on the basis of also of your input. But I can imagine any deaths in police custody, surely it must be people that are on duty. I will not go to police station when I'm off duty. And, you know, death as a result of police action, any, on the road, wherever. That's what you're saying, any discharge of firearms, and this is the issue that we've brought in to say, yes, indeed, injury, but also the issue of complaints must be taken into account in that fee. And we're actually discussing the issue that on duty or off duty, and we are of the strong view that it also must include the off duty. Because otherwise, if you leave that, they will then not do it on duty, and they will do it when they are off duty and using the official firearm. That's what we have said. If it is any other firearm, criminal, you know, who happens to be in the police, then that must be investigated differently. And I think that is what we've accommodated earlier on. Rape by a police officer, whether the police officer is on or off duty. Any rape, that's what we have said. Rape of any person while that person is in police custody. I think that also is very clear. Any complaint of torture or assault, and that is where we are, including sexual assault. And there's this view that it's too broad. Maybe we might have to consider things such as in police custody or something like that. So, Honorable Anneli, just on that one.
Yeah, Chairperson, can I just ask the state law advisors, in terms of assault, would assault include currently sexual assault or not? Or must we specify it?
Thank you, Chair. I think there's a specific offence created for sexual assault, different categories of sexual assault, so it won't be included in normal assault as we know in terms of criminal procedure. So definitely, yeah, there are different categories. It's very broad as it is now, as it is proposed. As proposed, sexual assault, very broad as well. Yeah, thank you, Chief.
What would be your advice?
Chairperson, I think maybe we should just have to look at the Sexual Offences Act, and maybe the committee also could give us some sort of guideline with regard to what type of matters needs to be prioritised in terms of investigations by the executive director, so we can have something maybe just as a guide to work with. But as it is, it's very broad, so we have to look at the Sexual Offences Act and highlight and put what the committee wants us to look at, and then see what we can come up with as far as that is concerned. Thank you, Chair.
Just on this issue of death as a result of police action, I mean, by saying, I mean, obviously custody is covered, but if by saying whether on or off duty for discharge of firearms and rapes and so on, then we're basically excluding deaths as a result of police actions when they're off duty, because we aren't specifying there whether it's on or off duty. So should we not be including there as well? Because, I mean, it's quite potentially possible that a police member can cause a death off duty, and we still have a situation where they'll have to investigate each other, which may not be desirable. So should that not be included?
Chairperson, yeah, that's exactly why I said, and I agree with what the state law advisor has been saying here as well. We need to prioritize what it is that we want. And we've got a philosophical difference in the room, a political difference in the room as well. The one is that some of us believe that the police have the capacity to police themselves, that they're not doing it to the ultimate, but we can't correct that through this legislation. We need to correct it also through the Police Act, which is supposed to be coming to us. That's the one thing. The other one is that one creates the impression that the police are not capable of of investigating themselves. Now, that is also not true. And we need to find the middle ground. For a moment, leave our political difference on the side and found the middle ground. What is it that we want IPED to look at that can have a lasting impact on the way that the police operates in the country? The human rights impact that we want. And I still believe the police have, there are enough honest police officers, and there are proof of it week by week. Yesterday, again, two reservists were arrested for committing crimes in their uniforms, etc., etc. Last week, we saw the arrest by the Hawks. 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, the TRT guys that got arrested. So I really think we must find a middle ground here and focus on what it is that we want to make a difference. And I would suggest that saying that we look at any discharge of a firearm by a police officer that causes an injury, or where there's a complainant to any person, whether that police officer is on or off duty, and an official firearm was used. Something like that. That would be my suggestion that I make in terms of that thing. And then it's a must. It's a must investigate. And immediately, the issues that we came up in terms of what the police must do, the 24-hour reports, the immediate report about this comes into play. Now the station commissioner, where this case gets reported, within or whoever is on duty, need to inform IPED immediately. So That would be a suggestion. I'm trying to take us forward. That would be a suggestion that I'm making, Chair. I'm not saying the wording is correct, but that they can work out legally the wording around that issue. But that would be my suggestion.
Okay. Thank you, Yeah, just a word of caution there. In that suggestion to say that it must be with an official weapon, if a police officer takes another person's weapon and shoots them with it, then that would actually exclude that. So that it would just be, you know, by adding that, it's actually cutting out an entire area of investigation, I think, by saying just with an official weapon. Just a thought.
I mean, this is where I'm asking
us to try and find a middle ground. It is doing that. Honourable Kulabarnat is absolutely correct. It's doing that. Because what you see, our points of departure are different. For me, that is a clear case of murder, and it needs to be investigated by the police properly. We might want to add, and amaze, that where there are cases where the police, where a police officer is the accused in a case of murder, that IPED can monitor that case. We might want to add that, so that there is some sort of independent monitoring. But what I'm saying, a criminal is a criminal is a criminal, whether he's a member of parliament in this house, or whether he is a police officer. In the end, both of them need to be investigated by the police. What are we trying to do with IPED Bill? We are trying to say, where you are acting in your capacity as a police officer, and you abuse that power that comes with that uniform and the power that comes with that ID card that you carry, that is where there's a responsibility on IPED and as a state to make sure that you don't do it and that we stop it. I think that is the two thoughts in the room.
No, that is very true. You know, the Amazon case is a typical one. Off duty, not using their official pistols, killing, and police investigating and arresting them. That's the case. And I mean, should we then, okay, if it is any death, by right it should then go to ICD. Did it come to you? The Amersfoort case? You're not aware of it. I'm just setting an example. In that case, there were deaths. Police, they didn't know they were policemen, but because they were off duty, you know. So the police investigated the case of the murder of three people. It happened to be police. They investigated. When they arrested the criminals, two of them were said to be police. They were off duty. They did not use official firearms. And for me, what we are saying is that that must be investigated by SAPS. Are we saying that? No, but we're talking about that must be investigated by SAPS. That's what we are saying. This is what this bill is saying. That must be investigated by SAPS, because that has nothing to do with a person, police on duty or performing. He's just involved in crime. He's just a murderer, and like any one of us who can be murderers. And it, if I decide to shoot Honorable George, I'll immediately be a murderer. Unfortunately, I won't. Yes.
So that argument goes round and round in circles, because then you're saying, well, why rape on a person is off duty, because that's also just a normal criminal. It just doesn't make sense. I don't think we should need to try and make political issues out of things that aren't political issues. And it's, you know, to try and counter every argument by saying it's political difference, I don't believe that's true at all. We're saying you're rape of a police officer, whether on or off duty. On that argument, then why say off duty? Then why, you know, if he's doing it off duty, then he's a normal criminal and he must be dealt with by that. I mean, we are not saying, this whole bill is saying that somebody else must investigate police action. We're not saying that the police must investigate themselves. These are all these offences, that's what we're saying. So it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, we either agree that they are doing it as a result of their police position. I agree with that, yes. But, I mean, are we saying that rape, they're using their position off duty but not for murder? It just doesn't make sense to me.
There was a specific reason why rape was included, and that was said in the beginning as well, because there's been found that the police don't investigate properly the rape cases where police officers are involved off duty. There was a specific reason for that. And already I think you are investigating rape by police officers over and above whether they're on or off duty. Yeah, they're already doing that. There was a reason for that. Chairperson, all I'm saying is, let us be careful. Are we trying to create a police service outside of the police service to investigate the police? It goes about abuse of power. So if you want us to remove rape by police officers off duty, propose it.
But I think we I don't know why must we go back to what we've already agreed upon. We have said directorate must investigate any deaths in police custody.
Yeah.
We've agreed on that one. Said any deaths as a result of police actions. Any deaths as a result of police actions.
Yeah.
We've agreed upon that. Any, for that matter. Whether ultimately it will be found to have been legitimate, but it must be investigated. And the IP must pronounce itself and say indeed it was correct, it was legitimate. They had no other option. We are saying any discharge of a firearm by any police officer that causes an injury or where there is a complainant, they are going to draft that to any person, whether that police officer is on or off duty using official firearm, you know, they are going to draft that properly. But the principle saying that, and we are discussing the reason for saying on or off duty. We think that if we're saying on off duty, I mean on duty, then they might actually abuse that and do it outside their off. I mean they are on duty, and that is why we are saying on or off duty, but therefore qualifying it by saying using official firearm. So that if it is not an official firearm happening, then the subs must investigate that it becomes pure criminal activity, which is not related to, I mean, which cannot be investigated by IP. That is what we are saying. And we are saying rape by a police officer, whether the police officer is on or off duty. And I think we are all agreeing to say this is rape. And there is a precedence here, and we are addressing this. Rape of any person while that person is in police custody, we are also in agreement with them. Any complaint of torture or assault, and what I think we're discussing is including sexual assault, and we are saying probably that is too broad, and the state law advisors are saying they're going to look into that. We might actually have to say, no, let sexual assaults be investigated by SAPS. We might decide to say that, but we're saying please check if it is possible, because we think sometimes it might actually be close to rape, so severe that it's close to rape, but there was no penetration, and you feel so dirty, and should what should happen? And we're giving that to our state law advisors to check on our behalf and come and advise us on that matter. And corruption matters with the police initiated by the victim. I think we've agreed with this G and H. And we are saying, two, directorate may investigate matters relating to systemic corruption involving the police. That is what we said yesterday, and we're agreeing on that. Honorable George?
Madam Chair, I will not argue very strongly on this issue of official firearm, but I'm very worried because effectively what we are saying, if the police have used the private firearms, they must investigate themselves. I'm not saying I'm going to argue about it, but I'm just worried about it. I thought, you see, that clause which they were trying to add to me was very good. But for us, we would have said any investigation, any shooting by the police, whether they use private, then if, that is the clause which we said they must go and write, if in the process of investigation something comes out that this is far bigger than what we invest, then they refer to it. But because effectively we're saying, if we say only official firearms, we're effectively saying if they use private, their own firearms, then they must investigate themselves. You just imagine a policeman is shot an ordinary citizen using his private firearm. So what are we saying? We're saying the police, in that case, must investigate themselves. Because I think what the aim of the bill was to avoid police investigating themselves. But this now gradually moves away from that.
once you start specifying whether the firearm is private or not. But as I'm saying, I will not argue it, but I've got some reservations about this thing.
And maybe coupled with that, as you respond, is the fact that any discharge of firearm by any police officer that causes, we said, injury or where there is a complainant. But what about if it causes death?
The check before the response.
And it's not in police custody. It's not death as a result of police action. B will cover that. Death as a result of police action. So it will be whether you are on or off duty.
Chair,
thank you.
Before response,
okay.
I had my hand up.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
You see, a policeman is a policeman, whether on or off duty. So, if we say, how many cases of police committing offenses outside because they are off duty? Like the one you have just mentioned. They remain police. And to uphold, to combat, and make the conditions of the citizens safe, they are police. Whether they must not change overnight because they are off. Therefore, I find it very strange that we would be saying that the police cannot investigate us. Suddenly, they are off duties. Now they must do that. I think we must, I agree with Honorable that we are leaving out a sizable number of people outside the investigation of IPT. And this is going to grow and grow if we cannot curb it by legislating it. Thanks.
Okay. I want to close this discussion on Honorable Chair so that we can go forward.
Madam Chair, the question you just asked now is exactly what I want to clarify, and I don't believe it has been clarified. You're saying death as a result of police actions, and your question was whether on or off duty, and the answer was yes. My question still remains, if we do not specify whether on or off duty under B, and we have specified it under C and D, is that not going to be interpreted to mean that it does not mean that it means that it doesn't mean on or off duty for B? Because you're specifying whether on or off for B and for C and D. Can that not be then interpreted to mean that that does not apply to B, and therefore it will only be whether they're on duty? And is police action covering that? That's my question.
Chair, I think what I wanted to bring to the attention of the committee is that with the present legislation in Chapter 10, there is no specific reference to whether a police is on duty or off duty. But our interpretation is that a police officer is a police officer whether he's off duty or on duty, whether, as the member said, whether he has committed an offense, whether at the time when he committed an offense he was on duty or off duty. It has been our interpretation. We've had situations where there were arguments between us and the police because on a monthly basis we meet in terms of looking at these deaths to consolidate our stats in terms of we have the right numbers, they have the right numbers. So at some point, there were times when we had differences and they were raising the very same issue of duty. And I would say our interpretation is that a police officer is a police officer whether he's on duty or off duty, because they can place themselves in on duty in any event. And my concern is also that if we say in other sections that whether on duty and off duty, and in other sections we don't say that, it's going to bring to us that kind of interpretation problem again, because the police can easily argue that if it's not legislated that on duty or off duty, it therefore means only when they are on duty, because you don't specify off duty. So it's either we remove the on-duty, off-duty, and we talk about an offense committed by a police officer, then we interpret it to mean the police officer is a police officer whether it's on-duty or off-duty. or else we then legislate it every time when you talk about a police officer, then we say whether on duty or off duty, either of them.
Chairperson, thanks. Another LOA, it will assist the on and off duty. It is correct, as Matthew is saying, that monthly in our reconciliation of stats, the police statistics always on deaths do not reconcile with ours because they do not include deaths that have been resulted by actions that were of police that were off duty. And if we include that, then it becomes now very clear to both ICD and the police that when we say deaths as a result of police action, we mean whether on or off duty. And also that will assist the Secretariat in terms of search purposes and interventions that need to be done. We'll know a reconciled statistic from both police and EPIT, for that matter, where if there's a need for a research, the causes, for example, the causes of these deaths on by police that are off duty, what could have been, and one will also assist to have the specific statistics in that respect, but currently we're unable to get specific statistics in some of these complaints of off-duty. We get them by chance or at a very late stage. That's it.
Honorable Craig, Honorable, your hand
is up. No, Chair, I've got my own questions still, but I'm not getting clarity on some of my own questions, but I wanted to make a suggestion. I don't think we, as parties here, we're not agreeing with each other. I'm not sure that we are. And I was going to suggest that maybe we need to, as parties, also go back and discuss this point. So instead of us getting stuck here, that we maybe park this issue for now and then continue with the rest of the submission. That would be my suggestion.
Chair, could we ask the state
or
advisors just to go through and tighten up? You know, you've got to, they must investigate any complaint of torture or assault. So, with all due respect, if Annelies van Dijk comes and punches me, the ICD must now investigate. So they've left out, you know, by police, H3 as well, the executive director may initiate an investigation in respect of the discharge of a firearm. So if you go and shoot someone, the ICD's got to come and investigate that instead of the SAS. You know, it's just, I know you had to work through the night to do this, but there are lots of little loose ends that just need to be totally reworked. Thank you.
Do you want to
say? Thanks, Chairperson. We have taken on all the comments made by the members, and we will come up with a secretary draft for the committee to consider.
Yeah, let's agree to that you will draft something for us. In fact, to be honest, I think the main issues are around section 27(1)(c), 27(f), and of course this issue that the ICT is raising, the on and off duty on all these things. If they are saying, if you are, I think, raped by a police officer, whether the police officer is on or off duty might actually mean that death as a result of police actions will only be when they are on duty. And as far as they are concerned right now, their interpretation is that whether they are on or off duty, that is what they are doing right now. So I think that is what you may just revisit on our behalf to check, and I think maybe to specify that it will be subbed and so on, whatever, so that it's not like all of us should be investigated by IPED. And you're going to bring that to us on Friday. There is tea outside. I think we can just take tea and come back at 12. At 1. So that we can join the joint. But we have up to 5 o'clock by 8. So that we come back at 1. Or even earlier than that, so that we can join the joint sitting. So let me say 12:45. There's tea outside.